Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we invite your calls right now. Something you'd like to talk about, maybe a Bible question, well, the number is 844-322-2742, and remember, whether you listen live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, all the stuff going on out there in the world, it just seems like the world is spinning out of control.
Wow.
And I think a lot of times we look at our own lives and we feel like we're spinning out of control as well. And we're wondering, you know, how is this going to look for us moving forward? And, you know, all of us as human beings, we want to be in control of our own situations. We want to be able to control our outcomes. We want to be able to do something today knowing that it's going to produce result X that we want sometime in the future.
Yep.
But COVID-19 comes along and boy, people had business goals and plans and now they don't have a business.
Yeah.
People had job goals and plans. Here's what it's going to be for me in 5 years. And now that's all changed. And it just seems like things are totally out of control. And then on top of that, we have, you know, riots and protests and all of those things going all over the place. And that's certainly disrupting life as well. And, you know, we just look at this and we just think, wow, this is just crazy. I mean, it's just spinning out of control.
Yeah.
Can we have peace in the midst of that? And that's where you have to get back to the gospel, get back to what the Word of God has to say about the one who is in control. You and I are not in control of anything. I mean, when we came into this world, we're dead spiritually. And if we're going to have life, that's not in our control. There's nothing we could do to bring that about. The only thing we could do is to be humbled by the world and then receive the life that God gives us in Christ Jesus. So that's his deal. So we have to recognize that we don't have the power to control outcomes, but we know the one who can and know the one who has, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I love what the writer of Hebrews had to say in the second chapter. He says, "Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking." Now that's a good statement. Mm-hmm. Angels aren't in control. I know a lot of people want a guardian angel, and that's a wonderful thing, but they're just servants of God. They're just messengers. They're not the ones in control. They just do what God tells them to do. But there is one that the world has been subjected to, and it says it has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you were mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." This is Jesus. So God the Father has subjected the world to Jesus, and all things have been subjected under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Who's in control? Jesus Christ. He's got this thing in his hands. I love what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn, so that everything might have supremacy in him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So maybe your life feels like it's spinning out of control. Maybe your circumstances feel like they're spinning out of control. But here's the truth. God has subjected everything to Jesus. He has left nothing outside of his control. So Jesus Christ is at work. So instead of looking at your circumstances, instead of being overwhelmed by what's going on and being sucked into that vortex of confusion and clutter and worldly forces, the Word of God says, at present, we don't see everything in subjection to him. It doesn't look that way to us, but we see him. And that's where our eyes need to be focused, on Jesus. We see him. When I put my eyes out there in the world, I get overwhelmed. When I put my eyes on my circumstances, I get overwhelmed. When I put my eyes on Jesus, peace starts to fill my heart. What do you want in the midst of your circumstances? What do you want in the midst of this crazy, chaotic world that seems to be spinning out of control? You want peace. You want calm. You want assurance. You want confidence. Where are you going to find that? In Jesus. So see him. Look to him. The one who tasted death for all of us, the one that was raised back to life, the one who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father.
Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for getting this edition of Basic Gospel underway with such encouragement. Friends, glad you're here. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you if you have a question, a Bible question, or something going on in life or across the country with the riots or the protests and so forth. If you have questions about that, we want to hear from you. We want to talk it over. 844-322-2742. So if you're hearing the broadcast at about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you can call in right now and speak directly with Bob Christopher and me. We would love to have you. 844-322-2742. And friends, as we approach the end of our fiscal year, end of June, of course, please keep in mind that your gifts are the fuel that keeps Basic Gospel on the air and online with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. The need for this message is made abundantly clear, as we've been talking about. As we address calls and emails from our listeners, and many of whom are struggling with heartbreaking issues, looking for answers from a source they can trust. And of course, the focus here at Basic Gospel is always to point our listeners to the only trustworthy one, Jesus Christ. As we approach the end of this fiscal year, we ask everyone listening to prayerfully consider what our Lord would have you do to support this ministry. And as Bob has pointed out, any amount that you give will help us reach the needed amount by the end of the month. So we look forward to seeing your gift through Basic Gospel, basicgospel.net, or by mail. Our address, of course, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. That's 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, once again, Bob, I want to give that number, and it is 844-322-2742. And we had a Facebook question from Lucretia. She says, how to explain to my girls, age 9, 11, and 12, especially my 9-year-old, she says, why God allows bad things to happen. She's always praying for the homeless and says, it is not fair. I have explained about sin and how it entered into the world and so on. Can you please help me answer this question?
Well, that is a great question, and it's an age-old question. We're always, humans since the very beginning have been asking why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we suffer in this world? That's an age-old question, and we assume that if God is good, that if God is interested in us and that he cares for us, that he would not allow bad things to fill our lives. He would spare us from that. He would spare us from the pain and the suffering that we endure. But one of the things that we know in the Word of God is that because of sin, because of the fall, bad things are definitely going to happen.
Sure.
That's just the reality that we live in. We also are in a world that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And there's a way of the world that is opposed to the things of God. So because we live in this world, because we live in a place that is ruled by darkness, we live in a place where sin and death reigns, we're going to experience that in our lives, the consequences, the effects of that in our lives. As Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But here's the good news, and that's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ tasted death for all of us. What is the result of sin? The result of sin is death. You can't get much worse than that. There's no greater consequence to sin than death. I mean, there's lots of things that we experience in this world that are painful, that are deep wounds to the human soul. We all know that, but there's nothing that can compare to death. But Jesus Christ has overcome death, and in doing so, he brings hope to each and every one of us. And it's in this hope that we are saved. It's in this hope that we can now endure the sufferings and the tribulations that we go through here on planet Earth. As Paul said, these tribulations pale in comparison to the glory that we're going to experience when Christ is revealed. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on the hope that he has made real to us in our lives, and what we will experience, this eternal inheritance that we have in him. That's going to shape us here and now. And as we really get anchored there in our lives, then we will be able to pass on compassion and comfort and empathy with those who are suffering as well. And that's our great ministry in this world today.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and friends, we're glad that you're with us. As a matter of fact, on the upcoming edition of Inside the Studio, I touched on this just a little bit, and we just want to say to Lucretia, we are so grateful that you are taking the time to discuss these things with your little ones. It will absolutely be the foundation of their lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
indeed.
We encourage all the parents to reach out to them and take advantage of the opportunity while they're home to do that. Once again, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had this question from a Facebook viewer named Chris. He says, is there a biblical explanation for addiction? I am a faithful believer, sober for many, many years, and now out of the blue, I've been having urges to drink. I'm astounded at this. I know it's the enemy working on me. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's answering a part of it right there. The enemy is against him, so there's an enemy that's out there. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay, those things had us trapped as human beings when we were lost. No way out of that.
Yeah.
So we lived in the realm of sin and death. Satan was in charge. He put forth a way of the world that we followed, and a part of that was living to gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So in that lost condition, we learn how to cope with the various problems and trials and tribulations that come into our lives. And we establish patterns of response and patterns of reaction and patterns. And those patterns become embedded into the flesh. That flesh of ours. Well, when we come to Christ, we're lifted out of sin and death. We're lifted out of that realm of darkness, and we're placed into Jesus Christ, and God's Spirit comes to take up residence in us. But the flesh does not go away. So sometimes those patterns emerge when we face problems. The way we handled problems and reacted to problems in the past, those same patterns start to emerge, and you want to walk down that path. It's like a hillside, a dirt hillside. Mm-hmm. When it rains, the water is going to find a path of least resistance. The next time it rains, it's going to go down that same path.
Yeah.
And to change it, something has to happen. Well, for the flesh, when problems come our way, they want to travel down the path of least resistance. And that's how we handle things when we were lost and dead spiritually. And so oftentimes drinking is one of those ways that we handle problems. Instead of dealing with them face to face, we retreated into alcohol. And allowed alcohol to numb us. We allowed alcohol to take the pain of that particular problem away from us.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes after coming to Christ and problems hit us again, we tend to want to go down that path of the flesh, and our flesh starts to desire the drinking again. So just recognize that as your reality, but here's the deal. You don't have to give in to the desire of the flesh. The Spirit of God is putting a different desire inside of you. And so the Word of God would say, walk by the Spirit, and the byproduct of that is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you've got that fleshly desire rearing its ugly head, urging you to drink and trying to pull you down that old pathway. But you've got the Spirit of God saying to you that you're a child of God. That doesn't fit with who you are. So have the courage, have the guts to listen to the Spirit of God, listen to the truth of the Word of God, and then step out in faith, realizing that that's going to be the absolute best for you. I mean, God's not going to move you down a certain path if it wasn't for your benefit. It may seem difficult when you first kind of look at it, but I tell you, the end result is going to be a harvest of peace and a harvest of righteousness.
Absolutely. Chris, glad you reached out, because as you experience those things, it's good to have input from a scriptural basis and with brothers that you trust. So thanks for reaching out. Again, friends, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial. If you have a question, we'd like to see your name on the board here, because we'd like to talk with you. 844-322-2742. And as we've noted before, social media has become a big deal, not only here in the U.S. and Canada, but around the world. And platforms like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, well, they're kind of taking the spotlight. Well, here at Basic Gospel, we're using social media to shout to the world that Jesus is the answer to every need of our hearts. Obviously, we can't reach everybody by radio, but we can through social media. And friends, that's where you can help. New listeners, new viewers can hear the message through Basic Gospel. But first, they have to know that we're here. So we urge you to tell everyone that you know, both here and abroad, about Basic Gospel and how to connect with us through our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. You can be a part of getting the word out worldwide, literally, through social media. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, Bob.
Well, I just wanted to pass this along to our listeners. Rod, I think, is someone listening to us on YouTube, watching our YouTube feed, and he said that he's been exposed to COVID-19 through some coworkers, and it's going to be tested, and he's requested that we be praying for him. And I know a lot of the folks watching YouTube have already said to him through the comments that they're going to be praying for him, and we wanted to echo that as well, Rod. Yeah. And we certainly pray for you and ask you to keep us posted in that regard.
Indeed. Well, Bob, a question, three Bobs at work here, you, me, and this Bob that wrote the question. He says, when Judas, as the Bible says, felt remorse and tried to return the money he got from turning Jesus into the authorities, was that true repentance, or just feeling sorry for himself and feeling remorse? It felt, if he felt true repentance, then maybe Jesus would have forgiven him, as our God is a generous and forgiving God, full of grace and love, wanting no one to be lost. Thanks in advance for your answer.
Well, I think you answered it right there. It was remorse, and remorse is different from repentance. He felt bad for doing what he did, but he didn't change his mind about what he did. And that's what repentance is. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of belief. I mean, Judas was in it from the get-go for the money.
Yeah.
So he was the keeper of the money. He was known to dip into it for his own benefit, for his own personal gain. And that's what his character was from the beginning. And so when he had the opportunity to betray Jesus for money, for 30 coins of silver, he took advantage of that opportunity. And then he felt remorseful for it. But remorse is completely different than repentance. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of people who feel remorse, who are remorseful for things that they've done in their past, but they're not going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and to receive him as life. You would hope that would be the case. You would hope that they would turn to Jesus and call upon him as the one who could save him. But they just won't do it. Why? Because they want to continue in their lifestyle. They want to continue to think that they're in control of their current circumstances, and they're going to be in control of their destiny. But they're not. That's in God's hands. And either you're going to receive life and be with him forever, or you're going to receive judgment from him and be separated from him forever. You're either going to be alive in Christ and enjoy eternal life forever, or you're going to be dead in trespasses and sin and experience the consequences of that eternal death forever.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, thanks for reaching out. And a question from Barry, who writes to us from Edmonton, Alberta. Bob, he says, can you unpack and explain the meaning of Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16? Being away from my church and family and being isolated during this COVID pandemic, it's been very discouraging lately. But I feel I've not been a good enough witness for my faith and not showing enough love toward others. I want to know the true meaning of what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus and how to show true Christian love. As a Christian man, I appreciate your ministry and helping men be better witnesses for Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Well, I think Paul is really giving kind of some practical instruction of how Jesus's command to his disciple is going to play out within the body of Christ. So Jesus said at the end of chapter 13, after washing the disciples' feet and encouraging them to go and do likewise out there in the world, he says, I leave you with this command, and it's a new command, and I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And that's what made it new. In the Old Testament, we see that we're to love one another as we love ourselves. Yeah. But Jesus raises the bar and says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So how is that going to work? How is that going to look in our day and age? Well, it's going to happen through this thing called the church. So the people of God make up the church of God. So all of us who are saved have been saved by grace through faith. We have been added to the body of Christ. We've become members of the church. That's what the church is. It's this body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head. We're the body. And how did we get placed into the body of Christ? By grace through faith, placed by the Spirit of God into the body. So with this body, we have a purpose out there in the world, and that's to reflect the very glory of God, the image of God, the character of God, the love of God out into the world. Well, we need to be equipped. Well, and that's what the church is all about. He's gifted the church with various people, the apostles. We have their words in front of us as far as the Word of God is concerned, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and they equip us for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. So we want the body of Christ to be built up. And how do we do that? By loving one another, by experiencing the giftings of one another, so that we can carry out our function out there in the world. So all of that works so that we can build ourselves up in love. Love is the foundation. The cross of Jesus Christ is that demonstration of God's love for you and me. We sink our feet right there into that ground, and then we're built up in that love so that we love one another so that we can carry out our function out there in the world.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you. And Barry, thank you for reaching out. You know, friends, this month of June is our end of our fiscal year. We ask you to help us meet the year in need with your most generous gift to ensure we'll be able to continue to produce resources and programming that point people to the truth of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Donate at basicgospel.net or by mail. You can mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. We would love for you to partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue with our study through the book of Titus on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.